One thing I wanted to make mention of today at 4 o'clock, if you could go into your prayer closet and pray. Brother Rich Thomas and our outreach team are going over to another neighboring church. They have about 20 people that need the Holy Ghost. And they're going to have a Holy Ghost revival this afternoon. So it is an honor to be able to take and introduce our guest speaker here today, although I don't feel like he's much of a guest anymore. He's been here, I think, for 6 years now. Brother Morton Bustard has been preaching behind this pulpit and revival services for us. And it's just an honor to have him here. We've had a number of people get the Holy Ghost. Listen, if you need something from God this morning, it's here. It's here. It's here. And from Alexandria, Louisiana, Brother Morton Bustard. God bless you, brother.
Bless you, Brother Roy. Praise the Lord, everybody. Sounds like we have a crowd of people who are glad to be in the house of God. People who are worshiping as if they didn't have a problem in the world. People who are worshiping as if everything was going just fine, but I know that's not the case. But that's just how we esteem God around here. Amen. We believe that He is the source of everything for us. First of all, let me give a heads up to the wonderful people back there in the IT booth. I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 17. And I will read verses 24 down through verse 27. And now you may be seated. And thank you for the warm greeting. It is always great to come to Madison. And last night, on my way from Dane County Airport to the hotel, my car, my rental car, found its way to Culver's. Sat beside a lady last night. She is from the area. She was returning back, and about the only thing that we agreed on, I think, was that Culver's is pretty good. I've learned that Wisconsin people are wonderful. They're sweet people. They don't always see eye to eye on everything. But we do believe one thing around here. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. You are a great bunch to preach to. I'm telling you that right now. And that's a reflection of Bishop John Grant and his sweet wife. The man from Texas bought a big vision from Texas and employed it here. You picked it up and ran with it. And hearing the reports from Pastor Roy is amazing. I congratulate you. I know that we're not doing enough, but I'm going to tell you what. I congratulate you for doing all that you're doing. Amen? It's always good to be here with Pastor Roy, his sweet wife and family, the leadership team, and you, the saints of the Most High God. Amen. Amen. We're going to have a great time today. Hallelujah. If you are a guest today, would you just slip your hand up? If you're a guest with us, would you keep it up there just for 1 second so that we can truly acknowledge you? Okay, we want to give you another hand clap just because you took the time to come. You did not have to come. You were not made to come. You were not paid to come. You chose to come. And this service is our gift to you. My sweet and beautiful wife sends her greetings. She and I and our youngest daughter, our oldest daughter, had to work. We just returned just a few weeks ago from Vienna, Austria. So anyhow, she hasn't come to Madison, but for some strange reason, she wanted to go to Vienna. I need to introduce her to Madison. Amen. Matthew chapter 17, verse 24. Reading through verse 27. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money, that's the temple tax, came to Peter, going to the wrong person. And they said, "Does your master pay tribute?" And look what Peter does. Once again, he proves that he is so impulsive. And he said, "Yes." And so therefore, he committed Christ right there. And when he was coming to the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, "What thinkest thou, Simon?" Good question. You've asked that of someone, I'm sure. A while ago I asked somebody, "Why weren't you thinking?" you know, I'd like to have a little say in the matter, but you made the decision for me. Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? And the options that he gives Simon are simply the children of the monarchy or the strangers. Well, you know that. You don't have to have the capability of splitting the atom to provide an answer to that question. Strangers, of course, they're the ones who carry the load. And Jesus said, then are the children free. The children are free from those levies and that taxation. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast an hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give it unto them for you and I. Amen. Lord Jesus, I ask that you'll give me a fresh anointing to speak a word to this congregation so that when they leave here, they will say, the Lord has been in this house. Amen? Would you lay your Bible down and give him a 30-second thunderous Calvary Gospel Church? I knew if I asked, you would do it. This is unusual. But I love it. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. We invite our guests to go right ahead and worship the Lord with us. Yes. Amen. I am an outlier. By definition, square peg. Doesn't always fit in. It could be because of my placement in the family tree, because I'm the youngest of 19 children. So that explains how I got here. My mother and father said, we can't stop at 18. And my father said, well, it's two reasons. I don't like even numbers. And number two, what I really want is one more mouth to feed and back to clothe. I have my idiosyncrasies, my pet peeves, and my pet peeves pretty much are confined to airports and airplanes. Bit of an unusual sort. I love people, but I don't like space invaders because we all need our space. I'm very frugal, always looking for a bargain. Of course, that's not being an outlier. That's just being wise. But I'm trying to get to the point here as quick as I can. I made a change in my life from when I was here about this time last year. I stepped into the 21st century and laid aside the flip phone and have an iPhone. Hey, man, I see that's how you roll. I held on to that flip phone as long as I could, but here's the deal. Messaging is the new mode of communicating, and on that flip phone, every numeral represented three letters of the alphabet. Yeah. Thank God for acronyms and so forth. And I think the number six digit on that flip phone was the one that was messed up. And when you tried to send the text and you had to get one of the three letters that was on underneath number six, it didn't mesh right, and that digit pretty much wore out this digit. I was on a plane with it right before I disposed of it, and a woman asked, what is that? But you see, I'm not the type of person that likes for anything to rule them other than the Holy Spirit. There had been some things that had deterred me from getting the iPhone, and one of them is I would be out eating with people, even some ministers, and I felt less than chopped liver because they couldn't put it down. And I thought, if that has that much control, I don't need that. And I'm not the type that is going to camp out for 2 days on an army cot waiting for the next one, the iPhone 6. The iPhone 5 is going to do me, well, it's the 5S, is going to do me just fine for a while. Even jazzed that up some. Got a Mophie for it. Okay. I don't need to hire a secretary because I have Siri. She does everything. Set my alarm. Okay, I've set an alarm. I even asked her how much wood can a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood. And since I asked her that 4 different times, she supplied me with 4 different answers. And then I said, Siri, I love you. She said, you can't. Oh, that phone is pretty crazy. But I've learned that before you dictate, or when you dictate a message and before you hit send, proofread. And it could be just my Canadian accent. And first of all, you should not require Governor Scott Walker or President Obama and his administration to pass a law to tell you you should not be typing, texting while driving. You ought to know better than that. Come on, pull over to the side of the road, because it's a matter of time. You're going to take somebody out. That shouldn't require law. That just ought to require common sense. A few months ago, I was driving south on I-49 to a revival meeting, and this vehicle was weaving left and right, speeding up, slowing down. When it finally got neck and neck with me, I looked over, and there she was, sending that text. And I motioned for her to put it down. But I do text and drive because I dictate. And I've learned to slow down and to do a very quick proofread, even if I have to pull over. Because she can cuss. Dan Chance pastors in Monroe, Louisiana. And a few months ago, Marilyn and I were going to go and preach, on our way to go preach for him. And we were going to meet up at a restaurant. And I just innocently messaged a text by dictation. Dan, where do you want to eat? Oh, you're intuitive. You got it. The technology that is packed into that little device is astounding. My father, who passed away in 1970, if he could resurrect and come to this time with all of this technology, it would freak him out. But I'd have to explain to him what freaking out means, because that was not part of the vernacular back in the day. No, way back in the day, we just knew that Henry Kissinger was going to be the Antichrist. And that cat's still alive. And that's way back in the day when calculators first came around, and I got one of the first ones, at least in our neck of the woods. I don't claim to have gotten the first one, but in our neck of the woods, I got one of the first ones. I think it was 6 digits. Yeah, try calculating the national deficit on that. And eschatology teachers, which were prophecy teachers, the end times, They were suggesting that you shouldn't get that home computer when it finally comes out, because that may be connected to the beast in Brussels. Do you remember any of that? Yeah. Well, here we are. We got iPhones. And we have learned in the last year or two that the NSA has the capacity to record your phone calls, messages, and emails. Did you notice how careful I was? I said they have the capacity if they choose to. Because more than likely, if they want to know where Mort's at, yeah, they may not have found Waldo yet. But if they really wanted to know where I'm at, they could track me down. I'm at Calvary Gospel Church. There he goes. And if they were to suspect me of sedition, I could just walk out in the parking lot and I wouldn't hear the drone and I would not hear or see that hellfire missile. Boom! He's gone. Of course, I don't claim to be that powerful and that big of a threat. It's just Mort. And Jimmy Carter, former president, thought that he had a way around being tracked and recorded. He said, I'll use snail mail. Jimmy, you didn't get the news report. Snail mail, UPS, or USPS, is taking pictures of the front of envelopes and the back of envelopes. And they're storing all of this data in these large facilities that they're constructing in Utah. And they're storing so much data that they had to introduce another byte. It's not the biggest byte, it's the byte that they're using. So you techies, what's the name of the byte? The what? Ah, you got it. Where did that come from? The Yoda byte. The Yoda byte is Greek for, that's a lot of data. Here's my point. If man has the ability to develop technology that can track you and millions of messages and emails, what is God able to do? I just wonder, without pretending to have stepped into any kind of a prophetic office with any spiritual gift here at this moment, I just wonder if on a Sunday morning at CGC right here in good old Madison, if somebody didn't wake up and walk in here and wondering, I wonder if God really knows what I'm going through. I wonder if God is aware of everything I have to face on a daily basis. I wonder if God knows about my financial status. David, I wonder how many times David wondered if God really knew who he was and where he was and everything. And finally he wrote, where can I go to flee from your presence? Ladies and gentlemen, if man has technology that can track your comings and your goings when you sit down and when you get up, I am convinced that God really does have the hair on your head numbered. I am convinced that God really has engraved your name on the palm of his hand. I am convinced that God is aware of your need before you even open your mouth and express it. God knows exactly what you're going through in this place today. See, he's aware of the fact that you went to the doctor for a checkup over something minor and were told it's malignant. He knows whether the tumor is on your body or in your body. He knows exactly which chamber of your heart is messing up. He knows exactly every beat of your heart. He knows where that cancer is. Oh, yes, he does. He knows exactly what you felt like when that man looked at you and said, I've been married to you all of these years, but I gotta tell you, I never did love you, and I never will love you. I'm out of here. He knows what you're going through. He sees every tear that stains the pillow as you toss and turn and sleep evade you, and you wonder, will I ever wake up out of this terrible nightmare? Yes, he does. He knows exactly, sir, how you feel. You had your ducks in a row. Everything was looking bright in your future, but all of a sudden things went into a tailspin, and here you are at this juncture in your life submitting an application for a new vocation, because that's how things happen. But God is aware. wants you to understand that in this house today with these hundreds of people, there is a God who has better and greater ability than the NSA can ever dream of. Why don't you give him a big hand clap, because we won't be tarrying real long here this morning. I'm going to ask the sound technicians to bring it up just a little bit more. I know this crowd, they're probably going to get loud. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want you to know one thing. The NSA probably can track me in Dane County on the side of the highway at CGC. They might be able to, but I know that God knew I was going to be here this morning. There was no question. There is no question in my mind. I don't believe that an angel just leaned over and says, oh, by the way, you need to back up Mort. He's over at Calvary Gospel. God said before there was ever an America, before there was ever an orb called Earth, I knew he was going to be there. I planned his life. When that boy was the world's biggest nerd, about 13 years of age, in New Brunswick, Canada, in a town of 900 people, who thought he would just be a loner all of his life. I had mapped out his life. And when that boy thought, I'll never get to go anywhere, I smiled and said, he's 13. He's going to go to his first senior camp. He will be exposed to for the first time, the ministry of Anthony Mangan. Anthony will be about 26 years of age. Anthony will walk on the platform, and on his wrist he will have an LED lit watch. And Mickey will be at a keyboard with a real high voice. And so thinking that I would be that outlier who would remain the world's largest nerd, I said, I got to get ready for senior camp, because it's my first one. And so I went into the brother's bedroom, and I needed shoes, so I borrowed his brown vinyl dress boots with a 3-inch rubber heel, and that's not exaggerating. And before there was ever anything called skinny jeans, and Brother Tenney said that he just wishes people who wore skinny jeans were skinny. Before there were ever skinny jeans, Mort had skinny jeans. And before the boots ever were stepped into, they were already too short. And then he needed cologne, so he went into his brother's bedroom, and there it was. Now, we're going back a few decades now, so roll with me here. It was a green bottle with a long neck with a silver shield or thing on it. Blue 33! And his mother made him a suit. God bless his dear mother. But she made him a suit. And then I went into my sister's bedroom and I said, this is all I need for grooming. And I snuck out her comb. It had that many teeth and a tail on it that long for curling hair. And so I went off to senior camp, and God probably looked at the angel and said, that poor little boy, I better not forsake him. I better put all the Holy Ghost around him that I can. I walked on to the campground, and I put on that homemade suit, and I stepped into those brown vinyl boots with 3-inch rubber heels. And I had that big comb sticking out of my pocket. Kiss Destroyer just showed up. The boots. And then one day when service was not in progress, I walked by the tabernacle and there was a brown-haired, brown-eyed gal. We made eye contact and instantly knew there was chemistry. Nothing would take place for many years, but God smiled and said, that poor boy thinks he's not going anywhere, but I'm going to raise him up to preach the gospel around the world. Before I get to the next part and then bring it to a close, at the present, you may be wondering if God is aware anything about you, oh, he's got it. From your head to your toe, when you look left or right, he knows it. Whenever a thought goes through your cranium, he tracks it. And so, Peter is asked, does your master pay tribute? He said, oh yes, he pays the temple tax. And of course, you know, it put Christ on the spot. So Christ said, we're going to take care of this because we don't want to offend anybody. You know, we've passed that era, haven't we? Way back in the day, there were things that we didn't do, places we didn't go, and things we didn't say. And it wasn't because it was heaven or hell. It's just that because we never wanted to be a stumbling block to anybody's walk with God. Of course, today we think about ourselves, and if it feels good, we'll do it, and it's got to be heaven or hell, or else we're just not going to do whatever. But I just want to walk with Jesus in a way that represents his kingdom. I don't want to bring shame to Calvary Gospel Church. I don't want to leave town and the pastor have to clean up a mess that I made. So Jesus said, go to the sea and go fishing. Now, here's the deal. Jesus, by trade, was a carpenter, and Peter is a fisherman. He's a commercial fisherman. And when you tell him to go fishing, you know what he's going to do. He's going to get into the boat, go out into the sea, and drop his nets, because that's how he does it. Please, do not become so set in your ways. Do not become so professional that you just know how it should be done, and it's your way or no way. Listen to what he said. Pay attention to the details, because he's telling you to do it a different way. Don't argue with him. No, just simply do it. Whatever he says, do, do it. Did you tell me to take a fishing pole and a hook? Well, here's the thing, Master. If I was going to a creek or a small river, that might be the thing to do. But going to a sea makes no sense. Because the odds are greatly stacked against me if I take one hook to the sea. Your carnal mind is not subject to the laws of God. Brother Buster, I think I'm going to have to leave the home church and move out of Dane County to find gainful employment. Well, if that's what God said, do, do it. But if God didn't say do it, please don't do it. Don't put finances above the spiritual well-being of your family. Yeah, but the odds of me, what do you mean the odds? If God is with you, who can be against you? If Jesus said, go do it, it's going to happen. Brother Buster, I'm trying to hold out, but I'm a young lady and I don't want to become an old maid. And I tell you what, there's just not a lot of fine Pentecostal boys left. You need to wait upon God, because I promise you one thing, something's coming down the pike. Don't let the odds dictate to your faith. Next thing. When the Lord says go, go. You're going to miss your fish if you drag your feet and just say, well, there's no sense in doing this. I mean, it makes no sense at all. There's no science to the supernatural. You just simply do it because God said do it. So Peter goes down, and with all the odds stacked against him, he throws that fishing line out, and lo and behold, he gets a strike. And he pulls that fish in and opens its mouth, and who would have thunk it? He opens the mouth of that fish, and there's a rather large coin in its mouth. Now, it didn't say it was a largemouth bass. It didn't say he caught wicked tuna. He just caught a fish. Now, how does a fish with a good-sized coin in its mouth still have the ability to bite a hook and swallow it? Musicians, would you come back? I don't know. But it happened. Because the Bible said that it happened. And it's going to happen to you. See, here's another little nugget. Peter had been fishing for years. That sea was not unfamiliar territory to him. He was very acquainted with it. And just when you think you've exhausted everything that there is to see, you've witnessed, all of a sudden God says, I've got something down there that you still haven't seen yet. I feel a prophetic spirit, Brother Roy. There are things in Madison that have not been discovered yet. There are jobs that have not yet been discovered. Young lady, that young man is out there. Young man, she's out there. How could God know which fish had the money in his mouth? Very simple. He made the deposit. I got to prophesy to somebody. God's made a deposit on a Monday for your son. God has already placed in your future exactly what you need. And if you'll just simply obey him, this will be more than a fishtail. Our text said it was a piece of money. But another translation explained the piece of money with great definition. Because the temple tax was 2 drachma. So that means for 2, it would be 4 drachma or half shekel. Can you believe that when Peter pulled that coin out of the mouth of the fish, it was exactly what they needed to go and pay the temple tax. Exactly. In Louisiana, a church I preach annually at, just a few years ago, Bishop Grant, sweet lady comes in. She's very worried if she doesn't meet the mortgage payment. It's probably going to go into foreclosure. And a guy who's not eccentric, but he's definitely an outlier. He's in his 80s. He's also in the precious metals. He's getting ready to go to church, and he claims that God talks to him. This Sunday morning, he claimed that God said, get a 1 ounce gold coin and take it to church, and I will explain to you what you're to do. She's sitting over there wondering if she's going to keep her house. He's over here with a gold coin in his pocket. All of a sudden, God says, go give that lady that gold coin. And that man who's this high, he's about 82 years of age. He's wiry. He moves quickly. He just gets up. He's a retired doctor. He walks over and gives it to her in Jesus' name. That coin was her mortgage payment. That really happened. Pastor friend of mine in Louisiana. Several years ago, went to a very small town, took a very small church, and then had a revival. And not everybody thought positively about that revival. Members were threatened, and they didn't like it. They did not like it. And they said, we'll starve you by withholding our tithe. Brother Lester lived in a mobile home. Door here, and then back toward the bedrooms, a door here. The door toward the bedrooms, one Monday morning. He walks down and opens the door, and there stands a total stranger who never did attend his church. He said, are you the preacher? Yep. Pulled out of his pockets a roll of money and said, here, who are you? Doesn't matter. Just felt to do it, walked away. I think there may have been a wad of tobacco in one of his cheeks.
Brother Lester counted the money of his exact amount that was being withheld in tithe. The next Monday, this went on for months. And when they built the tithing back up to that amount, it stopped. There's a job coming your way. You've been paying your tithe. You've been praising God. It's coming your way. There's a miracle swimming down the channel right now. Something is about to happen in your life. Yes, 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 yes. Would you stand and praise Him in the house? This is going to sound really tacky, and I wasn't going to refer to this. And I'm not pretending this is God. Okay? I'm not going to go hyperbolic on you and say, oh, this is God. I'll report, you decide. Yesterday at the house, I was packing the garment bag and the duffel bag. And my dress shoes normally go in the duffel bag, but for some reason, I said, I'm putting them in the garment bag. And I take great care, and I put them in the shoe bags and everything, and I put them in. My two neckties should go in the duffel bag, but for some reason I said, they're going to go in the garment bag. I'll just pack them right here. I put the GPS in my duffel bag. I put my toiletries in the duffel bag. And I put my two t-shirts in the duffel bag. I got off the plane last night in Madison when all the sidewalks were being rolled up and the lights were being turned out. No duffel bag. Thank God I've got shoes. I can probably find a Walgreens or something and get some toiletries. But the sweet lady working for Delta Airlines in the baggage department, why go off on her? She may show up to church this morning or tonight. She apologized. I said, I thank you, but you didn't cause it. I said, there's one word that explains this. Atlanta. They had 2 hours to transfer the bag. I've got shoes. And then I remembered, I put my belt in the garment bag. I put my cufflinks in the garment bag. Well, I'm halfway there. She gave me that little Delta overnight kit. We'll make it at CGC because I know the contents because I've gotten them several times. So I came to the hotel last night. I unpacked that. There was the razor. There was the shaving cream. There was the toothbrush, toothpaste, a little thing of dental floss. Come on. And guess what they give you? My t-shirts were in the duffel bag. But they give you an overnight extra large t-shirt. But it's got a Sky Team Delta logo on it. So I'm wearing it inside out right now with my coat on. Don't sweat it! Enjoy the ride! God's got you covered! He's going to take care of you! He's going to take care of you! Wave your hand and declare the bills are going to be paid. You're going to maintain the house. They're not going to repossess your automobile. And if He says your time on earth has not been completed, cancer's got to go. Now He's a specific God, isn't He? He knows the hair on your head, right? When I came onto the platform, and you know that I minister a lot in the Word of Knowledge and so forth, and I'm watching the clock, come back tonight. Just make it a point to come on back tonight. Can you handle a little bit more of this?
When I came and sat on the platform and I looked over here, I feel that a word of knowledge came from heaven into my spirit and said, if you're suffering with a knee joint problem, the knee problem, and it looks like you may have to have a replacement or some type of orthoscopic procedure, if you will step out into the aisle, Jesus has a healing for you. You're coming from the section that I saw. I had no idea that anybody would come from over there. I had no idea anybody would come from, but I knew someone was going to come. Which knee is it? Your left knee. I know I touched my right one, but that's because my right is his left. Raise your hands up from the top of your head. Here it's swimming. I'm pulling it in. We're going to land this baby. There it goes. Through the cartilage. Through the bone. Through the tissue. Through the nerves. Through the ligaments. A brand new knee in the name of Jesus. The next thing is, you're coming into a stress-free zone. The next thing is, your blood pressure shall not be erratic. The fourth thing is, you shall sleep and awake rested and not have sleep deprivation. Oh, thank you, Jesus. My God shall supply your every need according to his riches in glory. That's power. That's power. That's power. That's why I live on airplanes. That's why I go to Chile and Austria. That's why I go every week. The power of God is on you. God has raised me up to do this. Labaho shakata labaharianda. Get ready for it, sis. Thank you, Jesus. Four drachma, right on the money. There's no question in my mind that God has touched you and that God has heard our prayer. Before you stepped out of that aisle and before you walked up here, was that knee giving you any pain or any discomfort?
It's in pain all the time.
You believe that God heard our prayer? Give me your hand. What's your first name?
Rick.
Come on, Rick. How's the left knee feeling now? Is there any pain? Then Rick, jump a little bit. How's it feeling, Rick?
Good.
Really? Climb with me, Rick. How's it feeling, Rick?
Good.
Then it's time for us to go back down, Rick. Lord, I'm going to ask that this miracle will be so complete that when he goes back to the physician to get an examination, after x-rays or whatever thing they want to do, they'll say, it's all right, in the name of Jesus. Have knee patients here, but a heavy anxiety just kind of came over my mind. I also want to rebuke that anxiety. If you're under that cloud, raise your hand. That's why I said it. That's why I did not rush over. I waited upon God to ask him which or who should I pray for next. Jesus is going to deliver your mind.
Thank you, Jesus.
You were down but not out. You're going over, not under. Of course, this implies breathing problems. Which knee is it? Ready for Jesus to touch you?
Yes.
Say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
What's your first name?
Isaac.
Isaac, I like that name. Well, we know who your father is. We know about your inheritance. In blessing I shall bless you. Isaac, from the top of your head, through your lungs, through your bronchitis, through your right knee, your mind. Let's just say, oh man, This is explosive here today. This is explosive here today. I believe you can catch your fish back there without coming up here. Don't you feel a tug on the line? Isaac, be healed. Raise your hands up. In the name of Jesus Christ, be healed from the top of your head to your body to the soles of your feet. Say thank you, Jesus. Say thank you, Jesus. Loose. Oh, God. Says which knee is it? This aisle, I know it's dispersed throughout the building, and I'm rather than focus on going on to the individual, I'm trying to save time. You say, why do you do that? The spirit of a prophet is sent to a prophet. I'm not the show. I don't come in and do my own thing. We give the Holy Ghost priority and preeminence, but we do not become a law unto ourselves. The gifts don't work in a man or a woman, they work in a body. Don't go rogue when you operate in the spirit. Stay connected to the body. And I know that's a small analogy, but it ought to underscore the point that I'm working with a church body here this morning. And I know throughout the building this problem is about whether it's colitis or Crohn's, but there is a chronic digestive problem in close proximity where I'm standing. If you'll raise your hands up, Jesus is going to touch you through out right here. Raise your hand up quickly because I got to pray for mama. Say thank you, Jesus. Raise those hands up again. Here it comes. Mama, with your hands raised, I also want to pray for ortho, everything to do with bones, in the name of Jesus Christ, from the top of the spine all the way down, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now be healed. Be completely delivered from this in the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. And I've got news for you. You haven't caught your last fish. And when you catch that fish, it won't be the last fish. And when you catch that one, it won't be. Because God has as many fish as it takes. Something's flowing through your body right now in the name of Jesus. When you're sitting back and logging on and watching the news, or watching the news, you know, with the cable or whatever, or you're reading it by print, if you're not careful, you can be healing is in your leg. It's there. Just praise Him. It's in your leg. We'll get you in a second. You just let healing take place and thank Him. Just under your breath, thank Him. If you're not careful, you will absorb and take in so much of that negativity that you'll think that we're at the very end. No, we're not at the very end, because He's the God of the universe. He is the supreme commander. And I don't believe there's life out there, but if they truly discover life with empirical proof, He's God over that life. He is God. Be healed in the left knee in the name of Jesus. All the painful symptoms come out. Lord, restore the knee. Restore it. The bone, the ligaments, the tendon, in Jesus' name. I believe you heard the prayer, Mom. That knee was in pain when you walked up, and that's the reason why you sat down, probably. That's not discernment, that's observation. That's common sense.
That's right, it was hurting. Really bad.
How's it feeling now?
It feels better.
You're not going to have to jump. So I want you to tell you right now, I'm not going to make you jump like I did that guy. All right. Grab your cane. Which section did you walk out of? Right back here. Grab your cane. Which hand do you normally keep it in? That hand. You believe Jesus touched you?
Yes.
Stop. I just want to whisper something to you. I don't have to qualify their love for you, because you know that. This is your home church, right?
Yes.
I know I don't have to qualify this, but you don't have to get healed for them.
That's right.
And I won't try to heal you.
That's right.
Don't try to do what only God has the power to do. And if you will take that and relax, you can release your faith. Because He's got it covered. I believe that God heard our prayer.
Yes.
Is that left knee starting to feel a little relief?
Yes.
It is.
It is relief.
It is?
It is.
Is there any pain in it?
Not right now.
Isn't that neat? Isn't that neat? Where are you going?
Right here.
There's a gentleman stepping out of the aisle. Do you know him?
He knows how much I am suffering.
He does. So you know this lady. And it's not suffering right now. That just made this Delta Sky Team t-shirt feel so much better. Would you give Jesus a hand? Five minutes. Thank you, gentlemen. I believe that God heard our prayer. And I didn't. Did I get to pray for you? I didn't. What is it for?
The Lord told me, come up here for a blessing.
Well, raise your hands up and receive it. Say, I receive it in Jesus' name. You can sit right on the front row if you all want, or you can get back to your seats. It's entirely up to you. For the final few moments, if you are a guest here today, I think that this is a good example of how we pray for people. We pray for them in a very genteel way. We also tell you, if you have a doctor's appointment, you should keep it, because the Bible says to prove everything. Amen? And I think you've also witnessed that Jesus is a gentleman. He doesn't embarrass. So you have no reason to be inhibited about coming up here. If you're a guest and you want me to pray for anything specific in your life, whether it's for healing or for finances or for salvation or for a job, maybe you're doing all right, but as a guest, you have a friend or a family member who's not. You can come and represent them. This next time for prayer is just reserved for our guest. If you're a guest, come on down. So you're a guest today. Isaac, where are you visiting from?
I'm here. I live in Monona right now.
Pardon?
I live in Monona right now.
Now, how far of a drive is Monona?
Short drive. 15 minutes.
Is this your first time to this church?
Yes, it is.
Would you welcome Isaac with the first time Calvary Gospel Church welcome? One that he'll never forget. One that will say, we want you to come back. One that will say, Isaac, if you're looking for a church to become part of, we welcome you right now. Thank you, Isaac. Now that we've prayed for your body, is there anything else you want me to pray for?
Right now.
Lord, smite it and heal it, I pray. In Jesus' name, take it away. Let Isaac live. Heal him. For the power of the living God. When he goes back, let them discover there's no spot there in Jesus' name. Just like that. Amen?
Amen.
Just like that.
Thank you, Jesus.
Come. Pastor Roy, is it normally 11:30 that we dismiss at 11:30? Listen, I understand if you have a child in Sunday school or you have an appointment. I understand that. But I'm going to try to do this in 5 minutes. I really am. I'm going to try to do it. But this is why we put on these services. Amen? This is why we put them on, to be a blessing. Come, good man. Where are you visiting from?
Maryland.
Is this your first time to Calvary Gospel Church? Take a look around. What do you think?
I like it.
When you're back in town, come on back.
Yeah.
Are you just here for a while?
I might stay permanently. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, you're going to need a home church if you're here for much longer.
Yeah.
First name?
Serge.
Serge. Every church needs a power surge. What can I pray for you for, Serge?
Just that we keep faith in ourselves and each other.
Lord God, let me help you with that. Let us keep all faith in God and love and believe the best in each other.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Amen. Because by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And the Holy Ghost is the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Father, we pray for that. And bring Serge back in Jesus' name. Where are you visiting from?
Madison.
Is this your first time to Calvary Gospel Church?
No.
Well, thank you for coming back. Come back as many times as you want. What can I pray for you for? What's your first name?
Ken.
You're worth fighting for and praying with. You're worth holding on to. Kevin, you can come through this. In Jesus' name. Lord, take the darkness from the mind. All anxiety, take it away. Balance every chemical. Let him not have these bouts of depression. And set him free from the addiction that he's wanting to be free from. Set him free, Jesus. I pray for his own faith and for his self-confidence. And I pray that he'll have the ability to look into tomorrow and say, tomorrow is brighter. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Kevin. Who are you visiting from?
I'm a regular.
Oh, you're with... Excellent, excellent. Come. Amen. Are you all together? The three of you. Well, come on. You see, I told you we could do this in 5 minutes. We got three at once. So you brought them? You go to this church?
Yes.
Introduce me.
My mom, Christine, and my stepdad, Frank.
Christine and Frank, thank you for coming today. Is this your first time to Calvary Gospel Church?
Yes.
Well, you get the first time welcome. What can I pray for you for? Jesus, touch my newly found friend Frank and heal him and set him free. I rebuke this condition out of his body. Command it to leave him. I pray that symptoms will cease and cognitive skills will return. In Jesus' name, I'm asking you for this miracle. Lord, I'm laying it on the line. I'm asking you for this miracle in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, we look for improvement and results. Lord, Christine's left eye, partial blindness. I ask you, oh God, to open it, to restore full sight. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christine, I believe I've got something on the end of this line. I better reel it in. Hallelujah. I believe the Lord heard our prayer. Was the left eye a little bit blurred? Okay. Even with your lens on, under your lens on your right side, just kind of cover up that right eye a little bit. Look at me and see if it's still as blurry as it was. It is, but we're believing for improvement, aren't we? Because it's a walk of faith. And it was a walk down here this morning. And they could have easily said, why go? Why even make an attempt? But they came. And just before the enemy would try to pounce on their mind, say, you're so full of doubt, I want to say you're so full of faith. You didn't have to come this morning, but you did. You walked down in faith. I believe the eye is going to get better. I believe that God is touching Frank. Thank you for coming. Amen. Come. If you're tired of standing, you won't insult me if you're seated. We're just going to do some housekeeping right here with our guests. Are you both visiting? Where are you visiting from? How long of a drive? Is it your first time?
Here, yes.
Well, you get the big hand clap. What can I pray for you for? Need or desire? Lord God. We pray for this request right now. Now, Lord, there's talk about a Latino revival in America, and I rejoice. There's talk about other ethnicities having revival, and I rejoice. And with that, today, I speak a revival to Native Americans. It won't be just the Great Spirit. It will be the Holy Spirit, whose name is Jesus. Not nebulous, but clear. Jesus. In Jesus' name. Is this your first time to Calvary? What's your first?